Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haitland, Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. And join us on the horn right now, a very, very, very special guest, as it is the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps, the Class A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. But yesterday, he got to be the voice of the Detroit Tigers as they took on the Oakland A's. Our good friend, Dan Hasty. Find him on Twitter at TheDanHasty. Dan, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you, man? The nerves good? You still run off adrenaline? You're a little rattled right now? What's going on? How you feeling?
Pretty good. And Danny, Ryan, AB, thanks for having me. I learned a lot. Namely, make sure you turn your phone alerts off, which I didn't grasp until about the second inning. That was something that you don't really realize until you do, you know, the Detroit Tigers baseball game. So live and learn, I guess. No, it was wonderful. I mean, it's something that I thought about for a long time. I mean, growing up listening to Ernie Harwell, you know, listening to Dan Dickerson, and through, you know, so many of these formative years of this century for Tiger baseball, I mean, to have a chance to be in that seat. You know, we had done a couple of spring trainings before, and that was fantastic, but there's nothing like doing a regular season game.
Oh, it's completely different. And because of the whole COVID situation, although the team is on the road, all the broadcasts are still coming locally. So you, if I'm not mistaken, were at the actual ballpark yesterday.
I was in Comerica Park. I was behind home plate in the same area where the broadcast comes from for home games. So, you know, as you mentioned, COVID still being a significant issue. Yeah, we were calling games off of monitors. It's been something that pretty much we in the industry have had to get used to pretty much everywhere. It was just traveling has not been a normal thing. I call games with the University of Detroit Mercy for the Titans, and I've been with them for a couple of seasons now. I was shocked that we actually did travel and go on the road to all of our games. But the way that most sports are operating right now is like this. So you have to learn a different way to watch the game instead of, you know, watching everything happening in front of you. You're watching a monitor in front of you. And as soon as the ball gets hit into play, you're looking to another monitor. So it was different, but it was fun.
And I, you know, Dan, and it's been such a strange time. And obviously you've been calling baseball games for years, but the last year, because of COVID and no minor league system, you know, last summer, obviously a lot different. So it's one thing to get like your first game, you know, of each season. And it doesn't matter if you're doing television or radio, you know, public address, in-game hosting, it doesn't matter what you're doing. There's always that little sense of like a little nerve, a little rust you want to knock off. And usually you get the first sentence out and you're okay after that, because you stay in the, I guess, the routine of calling games and being a part and active in the sport. But we go all last summer without minor league baseball, and then they call you and they're like, hey, man, you ready to go? Because we need you for a Tigers game. First off, take us through the phone call itself, what you were thinking about, and then to finally get to the ballpark and be like, yeah, no, I'm going to call a Tigers game, and I haven't done a baseball game in God knows how long.
Well, I think that the point and the moral of the story is that life comes at you fast, and you just never know what the day will bring. When I woke up this morning, my intention was to take care of our 8-month-old daughter, Josephine, and have a day full of watching VeggieTales on Netflix. So life comes at you fast. But again, you know, the plan was to be home today. Daddy daycare was in full effect. And about 11:30 a.m., my phone rang, and which was a little unusual for the Tigers to be calling on a Sunday morning. But I had remembered a couple of other reasons why I needed to catch up with them, and ended up actually not being able to take the call because I was in the middle of taking care of our daughter. So what happened was I got a text saying, can you call me immediately? And of course, to me, that was sort of a dog whistle. That was sort of a, oh, something might be happening right now.
And then something was happening right then and there. And then they give you the word that our good buddy, Matt Shepard, who we typically talk to on Mondays right about this time, every Monday morning, that, hey, in Danica Haitland, he had texted me and said, hey, man, by the way, just so you know, Shep is sick. Because I had texted Shep earlier in the morning to, you know, touch base with him and see what he wanted to do, because it was kind of a funny time being a 4 o'clock local time game in Oakland to kind of, you know, get a grasp for what his schedule was and trying to work the logistics out of everything. And then I'm like, well, who's doing the broadcast if Shep is sick? I haven't heard from Shep. If he's not feeling well, who's doing the broadcast? Dana Kalen's like, well, Dan Hasty is. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I can't, you know, message him right now. I got to try to wait till the game's over to get a hold of him. I got to get this guy on the show. We got to talk about this whole madness. So you get the text in that says, hey, call me immediately. You're trying to, who knows what you're doing? You feed the kid, change the kid. You got like a kid over your shoulder, cell phone between your ear and your shoulder on the other side, trying to like, you know, work everything out. Kid crying in the background. It's chaos at the Hasty household.
Which is pretty normal when you've got an 8-month-old in the house. So that was the plan, was just to be home all day today. And again, you know, it's been a couple of years since I'd called a baseball game on the radio. You have to go back to September of 2019 when the West Michigan Whitecaps last played a game. So it had been a while. And, you know, just like anything else, and, you know, you can be in the same situation too, Anthony. Like, you can go a long time without having done a radio show, but the second you get behind a microphone, all of a sudden, like you said, you get that first sentence, the second sentence out. Next thing you know, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of remember how this goes. So yeah, I mean, it was everything I could have ever wanted it to be. And, you know, it was the hard part was getting from Grand Rapids all the way to Detroit in time to have even the smallest chance to prep for today's game, because that was the hard part. No prep time. And you know, you don't want to go, you know, your shows without having done any research. So to go into a broadcast, namely your first in Major League Baseball, that was the challenge. And thankfully we were able to make it work.
That's awesome. You know, that's always the one thing, you know, when people ask, you know, if you get nervous, and I said, well, nerves are just pride questioning preparation. Like, if you have a good idea of, you know, from a radio show perspective, like if you have a good idea of your talking points and of your show and what you want to accomplish that day, it's not too bad. But we're not doing live play by play, which I don't know if people necessarily understand the difficulty and the art that is, especially for the radio, where people can't see what's happening. Maybe some people are listening to the radio. I know a lot of folks like to listen to the radio while watching the game because they like the feel of the radio broadcast and how much different it is than a television broadcast. But it's to a certain extent, yeah, kind of riding a bike, but at the same time, it's like, okay, holy smokes, this is my first Tigers game. Like, this is, you know, it's a regular season game, and I can't even imagine. I mean, your phone in your pocket, like you mentioned, I mean, having to put that thing on silent, I'm surprised it's not like smoking and on fire right now.
You know, and you understand this as good as anybody, is that there are sometimes moments, you know, in any profession, but I know in this profession, that you just get that hit of adrenaline, and it absolutely takes you as far as you need it to take you. And this was one of those moments. I mean, this was one of those moments that, yeah, of course, was I prepared to do today's game as much as I was going to be, given the very window that we had to prepare for today's game. But you know what else had me prepared was doing this for 10 years, was thinking about this for 25 years. So, I mean, everything I had done, and this is an aside, but everything I had done in my career was in case this ever happened. Like, everything that had happened angled towards today and whatever days are lucky enough to come after it. So, again, it was something that even if the preparation didn't come today, it had been in the making for a long time.
Yeah, it's man, it's awesome. It's a great, the whole thing is a great story. The fact that you missed the call and that you get the text while you're trying to take care of your child. I mean, but that's literally how it works. And, you know, to be able to get that phone call and to be like, yeah, no, I can make that couple hour drive. Like, not a big deal. I'll try to get over there as fast as possible. And then to get in the booth with Jim Price. Now, did you have an opportunity to talk to Dan Dickerson before the broadcast at all?
We did. Got a chance to reach out to him. Of course, he was busy getting ready for the television side. He was on Valley Sports Detroit today, or on Sunday, rather. But, of course, you know, he had his things to get ready for. And my questions to him just really revolved around, how do you do this? How do you call a game based on what you're seeing on a monitor, on a TV screen? Because that was the one thing that I hadn't done. I had not called a game strictly off of what I was looking at on a screen in front. So that was the adjustment, and, you know, figuring out basically just where to look. You know, as soon as a pitch comes in, where do you look? What screen do you look at? Because you've got this big monitor in front of you. You've got 8 different images that you can be looking at. You've got one on your left, 6 in front of you, and one on the left. So it's pretty much just figuring out kind of where the routine needs to be built in. So that was the challenge, but we figured it out. It didn't really take that long.
Dan Hasty joining us. He typically has the play-by-play duties for the West Michigan Whitecaps, but for the final game against the Oakland A's, he was covering Detroit Tigers baseball and the Detroit Tigers radio network, heard all across the great state of Michigan. You can find him on Twitter at TheDanHasty. And Dan, I've been wondering this a lot for a lot of broadcasters and guys in our field that haven't been able to be at an actual facility and had to have, like, you know, ESPN has had guys in calling games from their basements or from their dens or wherever they're set up at. And I was like, man, that's got to be difficult because you're not in the venue. How much do you think, and maybe it didn't help at all, maybe you could have done it from your garage and been totally fine, but just being at a ballpark and being surrounded in the setting, and even though you're not staring out into watching live action, you know, on the field in front of you at Comerica, being in that setting, that surrounding, almost being able to look at the monitor but feel that you were there, that the players were actually right in front of you.
I couldn't imagine having done it any other way. I mean, being in a basement in your house or being anywhere that's not with the person you're on the air with, being right next to you, I just don't know how anybody can do it. I mean, we were lucky. Of course, you know, Jim Price, who's been doing this for a very long time, he was able to come out, he was there, and to be able to kind of just feed off of him, because him and I have worked together before. We've done a handful of Tiger spring training games over the last couple of seasons. So I kind of know where he likes to jump in and where he doesn't. But if I can't see him, and you're like, I'm sure you're like this with your producers behind the glass, guys like Danny and Ryan. But if you don't have that ability to have that nonverbal communication, there's only bad things that can happen. So essentially, to have that experience, you know, in that press box, in this case, in the Comerica Park press box, with our engineer behind us and our intern, Luke, who did a fantastic job. And then, of course, Jim Price on my right, that was everything we needed to make this work. And for an unideal situation, calling games off of monitors, it was everything that we needed to have to make it sound like really you couldn't tell the difference.
I mean, that's just awesome. And shout out to intern Luke. I mean, I don't even know who Luke is, but you gave Luke some love. So we'll give Luke some love here on this program as well, because interns are people too. On the actual field there, Dan, it looked like the Tigers had this one for, you know, a bulk of the game. They surrendered a run in the eighth and in the ninth in the bottom of each of those innings. They lose 3-2. Matt Boyd, another stellar outing, lasted 7 1/3. It's been one of those things that I've been just hoping for the entire Tigers pitching staff. If you're going to be a starter, you got to give us more than 3 or 4 innings. You have to be able to take this team, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings. And if you can get to 8, great. If the pitch count is low, Matt Boyd did that. 7 1/3, gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs, struck out 5, only walked 1, did surrender a home run, threw 94 pitches. His ERA is sitting at 2.03. But I thought he was just fantastic yesterday, again, in a really good start to the season for Matt Boyd.
And you know what? You think about what he was a couple of seasons ago when he was being talked about as, you know, an outstanding asset for the Tigers, wherever they decided to do with him, whether it be to keep him, to trade him, whatever. But, you know, the Tigers always knew that level of talent has been in that left arm. And you look at some of the numbers that he had coming into the start on Sunday, his fastball kept ticking up, 90 in his first start to 91 his next, then 92 today, sat a little over 92, almost touching 93. So again, you're finding velocity. And Chris Fetter, this Tigers pitching coach who came on just a little while ago, mark me down as a huge, huge fan. I mean, this is a guy that was essentially approached by the New York Yankees to become their pitching coach. And he said, no, he wanted to stay at the University of Michigan. And lucky enough for the Tigers, he decided he wanted to stay close to home and took the Tigers gig. I think, look, if the Tigers intended rebuild is going to work, and again, the jury is still out on that, but if it's going to work, that's how it's going to work. It's going to work, and it's going to look a lot like the game we saw today. You're going to see very good starting pitching. You're going to see low-scoring games, and of course, today, the Tigers just didn't have enough offense to get what they needed to put them over the hump, but if they pitch going forward like they did today, they're really going to need just a little bit of offense to make it work.
Boy, in this team, I mean, they have been so Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde when it comes to offense, because they've gotten some pretty decent starting pitching performances. Guys have come out and given them a chance if they could manufacture some runs. Only 6 hits in the ballgame. Half of those came from Harold Castro, my guy from Toledo over there at first base, right? I love the Castro brothers, Willie and Harold, no relation, but I still love them regardless because, you know, you spend a lot of time, you know, covering these types of guys when you see them in the minor leagues. And so it gives you a little bit of a different perspective when you can see guys who have made it all the way through the process and then are able to have some success like Harold had yesterday. But when we look at this outfield, I mean, really, that's what it came down to. I mean, the Candyman, Candelario should have made that play on that ball there at the end of the game. And then, of course, you know, in center field, it kind of makes you shake your head a little bit with Victor Reyes, because the outfield as a whole defensively is a little bit of a question mark. And then offensively, outside of the hot start from Akil Baddoo, who's gone just ice cold in this series against Oakland, man, just trying to get runs on the board and manufacture some offense in this series was so difficult, considering what they just got through in Houston, where they lit up the Astros. Like, it doesn't make any sense that they struggled as much as they did this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe they're just a matchup nightmare for some teams and not so much for others. I mean, of course, what they did to Houston was totally unexpected. And to then go from Houston to Oakland and then have the tables totally turned, or as Michael Scott would say, how the turntables, I think it just shocked all of us. So, you know, we still don't know what this Tigers team is yet. We're still kind of getting our bearings on this group. I think they're going to throw the baseball a lot better than they have in previous years. And I think that's to be expected to some point. I think, you know, what we saw from Matthew Boyd today, what we've been seeing from Michael Fulmer, what the young guys might be able to bring in Manning and Skubal and Mize. Of course, we saw Mize had, you know, the start of his career, you know, just a little over a week ago. So I think they're going to pitch better. I really do. Bullpen is obviously a question, but, you know, if it wasn't the bullpen being a question, it wouldn't be Tigers baseball, right? So I think that's the other thing, and they're still trying to get their bearings there. But I think overall, if I had to guess one thing or another, I'd say the pitching would be the stronger suit for this version of the Tigers here in 2021.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, we hope so. And then maybe the bats heat up and it gives them a chance. And it makes you wonder, you know, speaking of adrenaline and juice and having a little motivation there, winning one for the Gipper, for that series in Houston, if that was like the AJ Hinch magic right there, those guys being just extra motivated and really wanting to get out there and prove some things to that Astros team for their Skipper. He's Dan Hasty. You can find him on Twitter at TheDanHasty. Dan, it has been an absolute pleasure to be able to get you know, on the air today. To be able to join us, it was such just a great day, and I love to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you and to be able to celebrate the success of other people. I think is fantastic, and for folks who grow up and they have a dream, and then to be able to realize that and be able to get that opportunity, man, I just think that's fantastic. The crowd, they love you. Listen to this crowd in the background, Dan, they're all fired up for you. Studio audience loves you. Thank you so much, my man, for taking the time. We greatly appreciate it.
Of course. And you know what, to UAB, I've followed you for a long time as well. You know, it takes one to know one. You work exceptionally hard at what you do, and I'm always so happy to see you get these opportunities that you've been getting over the last couple of years. So thanks for the time.